Hello, and welcome to another episode of Feed Your Faith with Courtney Kopeck. I'm your host, Courtney Kopeck, and today's episode is going to be a really powerful one, in my opinion anyways. I'm talking about love today. I'm talking about self-love. I'm talking about love of God. I'm talking about what it means to really love. And the importance of this is that when we are on a path of trying to heal ourselves from a negative body image and a poor relationship to food, love is like the number one key to really getting that job done. It's a lack of love for yourself that brought you to the place that you're at. It's a lack of faith and understanding of the grace that God gives to you. And those are things that need to be built back up. So I'm going to be talking about how we can do that, what love, like I said, what it kind of looks like, because I think that when we're on this road that is so destructive, this path, we forget what love looks like. We know how to give it to other people. I mean, sometimes it's even hard to do that. We're just so consumed by our obsession with food and our body, but we're going to work through that today. I'm really excited about this episode. Before we get into that though, of course, just a couple of announcements I want to make and share with you guys. And then we're going to hop right into the podcast. Welcome to Feed Your Faith. I'm your host, Courtney Kopeck, and I'm a Christian food and body image coach. I spent most of my life hating my body and feeling frustrated with food. Then God stepped in and showed me something so supernatural in His Word, it transformed my life forever. Now I have peace around food and feel comfortable in my body. I am teaching female followers of Christ all over the world how to find this exact same food freedom through a deeper faith in Jesus. Join me in fellowship here every week as I discuss biblical scriptures directed towards how to treat and love our own bodies, as well as share personal struggles and thoughts around food and body image and the role God plays in both. I also talk with other women of faith who share their personal stories and wisdom around God's grace in putting a final end to their own food and body image drama. This episode is brought to you by my free 7-day devotional, 7 Steps to Food Freedom Through Faith. If you're ready for some answered prayers around your food struggles and body image issues and want to start living abundantly in the life God has waiting for you, where you are truly free from binging, food restricting, and yo-yo dieting, get my free 7-day devotional, 7 Steps to Food Freedom Through Faith. Go to courtneykopeck.com/sign up for free devotional. That's courtneykopeck.com/sign up for free devotional. And now let's get to the podcast. Welcome guys to Feed Your Faith. So let's just like jump right into this because we've got a doozy of a podcast today. Love is a very big and wide topic and there's a lot we could say about it. I am going to tell you guys what inspired this podcast because it's pretty supernatural and what I consider just one of those things. I don't know if you're familiar with what a God stop is. But this is a term that I learned several years ago, and it basically means anything that happens in your life where you notice God really being involved in it, just something that stops you in your tracks, and you're just like, whoa, that was definitely God. So the other day, like basically recently, my husband and I, we haven't been getting along all that well. And this isn't like a major deal. It's just, you know, sometimes when we're both working so much, and I'm sure you guys can all relate to this, we're not spending enough time with each other and we forget like the importance of putting each other first, and we just get so consumed in our daily activities. And so we kind of, you know, the warmth starts to dissipate a bit. And so this was happening with my husband and I, and some things personally were going on too, that just were causing a little bit of some waves. So I was home and my husband was at work, and he really likes to come home to a clean house. You know, I mean, he knows I'm watching the kids. He's not expecting it to be like, you know, spotless or anything like that. But he does, he likes to come home and see that at least it was straightened up, which I, you know, I'm totally on board with that. And so now we're not getting along, and I know he likes to come home to a clean house. So I was kind of in this space of like, well, I'm not going to clean the house. I'm not going to, you know, if he's going to be this way with me, then I'm not going to let him come home and see a clean house. I'm not going to do that for him. So I didn't really straighten up the house. I know this is like so immature, but it happens. I didn't clean the house, and especially the playroom, which, let me tell you, it's covered in Legos. I have three boys. They're all obsessed with Legos. Legos are my like demise. I can't stand them. They're small. They, you know, I always have to be careful not to vacuum them up. I just, they're everywhere. I would rather see, like, I don't know, dolls and stuffed ponies and princess hats around the playroom, but that's just not, you know, where God has me. He's got me with the Legos. And so I really didn't want to clean these Legos up, especially. And I stopped for a moment and I thought, I don't really like the look of this playroom right now. It's super messy, but just to get back at my husband, I'm going to not clean it. And I was sitting on the floor saying this to myself, and all of a sudden I heard God say, "Will you clean it because you love me?" And it was a God stop. It just stopped me in my tracks. And I was like, "Yes, Lord, I can do that. I will clean this playroom because I love you. But I'm not cleaning it because I love my husband right now." I still had to get that one last jab in there. But, you know, I went and I cleaned the playroom, and I felt so good about it because I knew I was doing something that God had asked me to do because I love him. And the importance of this lesson is that it made me think about what are some other areas in my life where I really need to maybe be doing things, not necessarily because it feeds me, but because it's feeding my husband, or because it's feeding God, or because it's feeding my family. When we have an obsession, the obsession becomes our life. It's our focus. It's everything. If your obsession is food, you're always thinking about food. When you're going to eat next, what you're going to eat, how much you're going to eat, calories, carbs, macros, portion sizes, grocery shopping. Like, it's all you think about. So what happens when you're thinking about something constantly? You don't really have a lot of room to think about anything else. Something that dieting steals from us is the ability to be givers. When you are on a diet, you are in take mode. You are in self-serving mode. Everything is about the diet. Everything is about losing that weight as quickly as you can. And I don't care how many of you out there say, "Well, I don't want to be on a diet. I just want to make a lifestyle change." Well, you know what? Why does it keep taking you time and time and time again to make a lifestyle change? What is so hard about that? Because you're not doing anything that's like realistic lifestyle. You're still feeling like you're restricting yourself. You're still on a diet. The difference between being on a diet and not being on a diet is that when you're not on a diet, when you're a non-dieter, when you do not diet at all, you do not care about food. It doesn't mean you don't enjoy food. It just means you don't care about it. You don't think about it. I know a lot of guys like that. I don't know too many women. I'll never forget the first time I mentioned intuitive eating to my husband. I was trying to describe it to him, and I'm like, well, intuitive eating is when you really just pay attention to your body, the hunger cues that you get, the fullness cues that you get, and you eat based off of, you know, what you're craving in that moment, what you feel like would be a choice that your body is telling you it wants in that moment. And you eat, and you don't have any like shame or guilt around what you're eating because your body is the one leading you. And he was like, well, isn't that just like eating? And it caught me off guard, but it was such a like truthful response. I mean, yeah, that's what intuitive eating is in a lot of ways. It's just eating. And when you've been a dieter most of your life, you do not know how to eat anymore without thinking like a person who's on a diet. So this is what's funny about dieting, is that it claims that it's all about you gaining more self-respect, you gaining more self-love, you gaining more appreciation and value for yourself, right? Because we look at people who are fat and we think that they don't have those things. We think, oh, well, you don't respect yourself. Because if you did, you wouldn't let yourself look like that. You wouldn't, quote, let yourself go, right? This is a huge fear. It's all about how we feel the world perceives us. If you don't give a crap about what the world thinks of you, you're not going to be someone who diets. You're just not. You're just going to eat. You're not going to care. The reason why you may be a poor eater now, and I use that, you know, in the sense of someone who has a big binge eating problem or you restrict your food, it's not because you have an issue with food. It's because you have an issue with yourself. You have an issue with how the world views you. Okay, that's why you have a food problem. Not because you're addicted to food. You cannot be addicted to food. It's physically impossible. You're not going without food and getting sick and having the shakes and throwing up, not being able to sleep, possibly like dying because you're not eating. I mean, you will die if you don't eat, but you know what I mean. Like, let's take a look at a heroin addict. Are you experiencing the same withdrawal from not eating food that a heroin addict experiences from not having heroin? No. Cokehead? Feeling the same sort of withdrawal as a cokehead? Alcoholic? No, you don't have those same feelings. Those are feelings that you have when you're truly physically addicted to something. You are not addicted to food. You don't love yourself. Somewhere down the line, somebody told you were not good enough, and you took that out on your body. It's plain and simple. Don't feel bad. You're in a very large club. Believe me, I'm in the club. I don't have a problem with food anymore, but I'm still in the club. Like, I don't think it's possible for anybody to be a person on the planet and not care at all about what other people think about them in some small way. You know, we want to be good. We want to do good. We want people to value us, and we're creatures that need love. So of course we're going to, you know, care about what other people think about us. But what you can do, you can change where you're looking for that value and who you're trying to get it from. And unfortunately, when you're dieting, you're seeking that value from a very judgmental crowd. Most of society is judgmental. I mean, everybody's judgmental, right? Like, we're just built that way. But there's more judgmental than others. And when you're dieting, you're seeking approval from an extremely judgmental crowd because you're seeking approval from the dieting crowd. You want to be part of the club. You want to fit in. You want to be thin, slender, skinny, fit, quote unquote, healthy, whatever it is. You want to be seen. You want to be valued. You want to be viewed as a person who has self-respect. The funny thing is that dieting, we take that road and in reality, it just strips all of that away from us because everything balances on whether or not you can look a certain way, whether or not you can achieve a certain look. And then it's not just achieve it, but maintain it. And I always say that if dieting worked, there would be no dieting industry. There would be no lifetime membership to Weight Watchers if it really worked, because you'd only have to do it once. Dieting makes you obsessed with your body. It does not make you fall in love with your body in a holy sense, because you've got all these rules and restrictions and judgments around yourself. Everything God tells you, you're not supposed to have. God is not just saying, don't judge others. He's also saying, don't judge yourself. Who are you to judge yourself? Your only job as a Christian is to love Jesus and love others as Jesus loved. When you're dieting, you are not loving yourself. You think you're loving yourself, but you're not, because you're treating yourself poorly. You're saying, I'm not good enough until I get to point B. Point A is not a people pleaser. I got to change my ways because I want to be a people pleaser. So I need to get to point B. So when God said to me, can you do this because you love me? I kind of want to turn it around on you guys now and say, maybe there's things that you're trying to change right now about your eating and your body image that are just really, really challenging for you. It's very hard when we don't have a strong foundation of self-love to achieve things that are loving for ourselves. Does that make sense? Right? Like, it's hard to be kind to people that have hurt us, that we don't trust. And sometimes, like, you have to look at yourself and say, am I one of those people? Do I feel that I don't trust myself? Do I not trust myself around food? Do I not trust myself to make healthy choices? Do I not trust myself to be kind and loving to myself? And sometimes we have to ask ourselves if maybe we are that person. Like, do I not trust myself? Have I hurt myself? Do I not trust myself around food? Do I not trust myself to make healthy choices? Do I not trust myself to know what to feed myself? Do I not trust myself to accept myself? If you, under the layers, feel that way about yourself, then you're not going to make loving choices. You're not. And anyone who has been struggling with being cool, eating a slice of pizza without self-judgment around that, or not having an anxiety attack because you drank too much and ate like a bowl of French fries and three cupcakes the night before. I mean, That's the ultimate goal here. Not to get drunk and eat a bowl of French fries and three cupcakes. But the ultimate goal is to be okay with it if it does happen, right? But maybe you're in a place where you just, yeah, you get that that's the goal, but you just can't seem to reach it. Well, that's why I'm inviting you to ask yourself, if you're not in a space where you love yourself enough to be able to make choices that support that love you have for yourself, then can you do it for God? Can you make the choice because you love God? And this is tricky. This is tricky because we can set ourselves up sometimes for even more self-judgment. God is like the ultimate, right? And so anytime we're doing something for God, we want to get it right. The last thing we want to do is screw up with it because it's God. You know, but you got to remember who God is. First of all, as an example, if you sat down today and you prayed and you said, you know what, God, I'm concerned that I'm going to binge later on today. It's Wednesday and I have really busy Wednesdays. And that's usually a day that I end up binging at night. Or I'm concerned that I'm going to eat a slice of pizza at that party. I use pizza a lot because I love pizza, and that was a food that I just like never allowed myself to eat. So you're going to hear a lot of pizza examples. You go to, you know, you've got a friend's birthday party and you know there's going to be pizza, and are you going to like beat yourself up because you have a piece? Or feel that anxiety around even having a piece. Like you want that piece, but oh no, can't have that piece of pizza. I'm stronger than that slice of pizza. I can resist, right? If you can say to God, these are things that are on my mind today, and I'm going to turn them over to you. And I'm praying that because I love you, I'm going to make the choice that's right for me in the moment. Whatever that choice may be, I'm going to trust you to inform me of what I should do. I'm going to be in tune enough to be able to hear your voice, and I'm going to do it. I'm not just going to hear you, but I'm going to obey. I'm going to do what I feel you're telling me to do in that moment. That is something that, like, you also need to be praying that you're not going to judge yourself around, because God, if you make that prayer, I'm telling you, God already knows what the end result is. God already knows what you're going to do 3 weeks from now with your food. God already knows where you're going to be 3 years from now with your food. I pray that it's not where you are today, right? I pray that. I pray all the time for you guys. But don't forget, God knows everything. It's not going to be a surprise to God if you have that piece of pizza and you still feel guilty afterwards. You didn't let God down. So don't feel like you let yourself down. See, this is where the dieting mentality is strong because it teaches us to have judgment around what we eat. And I'm trying to teach you guys how not to have judgment around what you eat, how to get away from the judgment, because the judgment is where the trouble starts to come in. God does not want us judging ourselves. God does not want us judging our food. He wants us to follow him. He wants us to listen to him. And so this doesn't have to be so complicated. It gets complicated when we're more self-serving, dieting, obsessed with self. It's a lot less complicated when all we have to do is focus on God. It's harder, that's for sure. It's definitely harder to focus on God than it is to focus on ourselves. We're self-serving beings. But God will give you the grace to be able to do it. God will give you the grace to be able to do it. If it is truly what you want to do. Sometimes when we're trying to move beyond an obsession like food, you can't look at it in black and white. I've done a podcast before about, you know, God being in the gray. It's what I called God is in the gray. God meets us in the gray. In order to be successful at things, you have to do stuff that you don't feel like doing. And you have to do them even though there is a chance that you will not be successful the first time, the second time, the third time, the fourth time. Why is it that we so fervently chase after weight loss, even though we're not a success the first time, the second time, the third time, the fourth time, to the degree that we want to be a success? But we don't chase after freeing ourselves from food obsession, from dieting mentality, which means thinking like a dieter, thinking like someone who has always been on a diet with that same sort of fervor. And even more to the point, we don't chase after focusing on God. If you obsessed about focusing on God the same amount that you focus, that you obsessed on focusing about weight loss and about your body, think of what an amazing service you would be. Think about that. If you spend all your time just trying to love God and do the right thing that God wants you to do without judgment, just being a servant to the Lord, the same amount that you obsess over food in your body, do you understand how much joy and peace you would have in your life? Think about that. It's mind-blowing. Because I don't know about you, just in my everyday, I'm not pleased with the amount that I focus on God. I don't get upset with myself over it. I'm not like, oh, Courtney, you suck. You're not focusing on God enough. This is my humanness. It's part of just existing as an imperfect person. But my point is that, like, even when you get beyond the dieting, even when you're freed from the food obsession, and I speak to you powerfully like that, believing that you will be freed from your food obsession. I speak it and it will be. You've got to live your life that way. Have power behind your words. Even when you are beyond this season of your life and food is no longer an issue for you, there will be other things to obsess over. There will be other things trying to steal your focus away from God. This is an important thing to grasp. Because I also think it's part of the reason why we hold on to the food obsession. We're comfortable with it. We know it. We understand it. It's who we are. If you take that away, what will be in its place? It's hard to imagine life where you honestly value yourself because of who you are in Christ and not because of who you can prove yourself to be to the world. Because if you've been dieting for a long time, that has been your existence. That's been your tool for proving yourself to people. Your weight, how you eat. And if that is taken away from you, it's scary because there's an emptiness you feel there. What's it going to be filled with? Will I be deserving of it? And this is where the grace part comes in again. That living in the gray, the deserving. No. Nope. You're not going to be deserving of it. You're not going to be deserving of it because God always tells us that we're not deserving of anything he gives us. But By His grace, we are loved. By His grace, we are accepted. By His grace, we are valued. It's not by our works. Your self-love is not going to be achieved through dieting, which is nothing but you busting your butt, right? You working. I am working to lose this weight. I am working to have the quote-unquote healthy lifestyle that I can't maintain, which means it's not really a lifestyle at all. It is by His grace. His grace, His grace, His grace, His grace, His grace. It's the only way. So I want you to understand, it's okay for you to lay this down. It's okay for you to put this away. I'm giving you permission to stop being obsessed with food and your body. I'm giving you permission to be afraid of what that means for you. And I'm giving you permission to let it go anyways, to do it afraid. Because that is what successful people do. They do things despite their fear. You are not going to be able to get to the other side of these issues fearlessly. There's very few instances where God allows us to conquer something fearlessly. Now, He does say He did not give us a spirit of fear, right? He does say that. He didn't give us a spirit of fear. And He tells us several times in the Bible, do not be afraid, do not be afraid, do not be afraid. But when you don't have the self-love yet, chances are you're still going to be afraid. It's baby steps. It's baby steps to accepting God's grace. We can all say like, oh yeah, God loves me. I accept God's grace. But do you really? Because when you do, you have so much self-love and respect for yourself that you don't need something like dieting. You don't need to listen to other people telling you you're not doing it right. You're not living your life right. Because I'm telling you right now, if your focus is on God, you're not doing anything wrong. You are living your life right when your focus is on God. When your focus is on yourself, that's another story, right? Don't forget that we live in a world that is not revolving around Jesus. We live in a society that does not put God first. It's your job as a believer. It's your job as a Christian. It's your job as a faith-filled servant to consistently be seeking God everywhere. That means that when you go to the doctor's office and they're being there telling you your BMI is too high and you need to lose weight, you're taking that information to God and you're asking the Holy Spirit to fill you with truth. I'm not going to tell you what God should say to you in that moment. I'm not going to tell you what you should be experiencing in that moment because that's personal. That's between you and God. I don't know what God is going to say to you about your BMI. I know that BMIs are baloney. It's a tool that was created many, 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 many years ago that makes absolutely no sense. And it's outdated and it's incorrect, but they're still using them to calculate whether or not people need to lose weight. I can give you that information, but I'm not going to be able to tell you what God's going to tell you in that moment. That's for you. That's between you and God. To let it go anyways. To do it despite the fear. Recognizing that this is an opportunity for you to be leaning more into the Lord. To do it because you love God. And you know that you are involved in something that is not holy right now. You are involved in something that God does not have planned for you. You are involved in something that God does not want for you. He does not want you to be obsessed with your food and your body. He does not want you to be looking in the mirror and not happy with what you see, not accepting of what you see. He does not want you to be chasing after something in order to please other people. Those are not things that God wants for you. And if you're struggling to let those things go, it's because you're trying to use your own strength to do it. So say to God, I can't do this. I can't do this for myself because I have all these fears, I have all these worries, all these anxieties. I don't know how to live life without dieting. For some of you, that's the truth. For some of you, your entire existence has been about being on a diet. It has been about trying to lose weight. It has been about trying to keep weight off. It has been about looking a certain way. That is who you are. That's your ego. Like that's you in a nutshell. You identify as a person who is very concerned with what they're eating and what their body looks like. How about identifying as somebody new? How about identifying as somebody who loves themselves regardless of what they weigh? How about identifying as somebody who doesn't need approval from other people to know her value and her worth? How about identifying as somebody who puts God above everything else? Is that what you want? Because it's waiting for you if it is. But you've got to get out of the cycle. You've got to put down this wild and intrusive desire to get it right, to fit in, to prove yourself. Because you don't have to prove yourself to God. And thank God for that, because man, I would be failing all over the place if I had to prove myself to God. I certainly would. I mean, you know, it's funny living the Christian life because it's like, no matter where you start to get a handle on something, and it's only by God's grace that you're able to get a handle on anything, but no matter where you start to see some sort of freedom and light coming in, there's always another area that has to be released. There's always another room of darkness where the door needs to be opened and God just needs to get in there and fill it with light and fill it with light and fill it with light. We're never done being transformed, is what I'm saying. And what happens is that when we get stuck in one particular area, and we can't get out of it. We can't move past it because we don't value ourselves enough in that particular area. We're just making ourselves work harder and harder and harder and harder and harder on something that should have been taken care of a long time ago. And you can't get upset about you can't get upset at yourself about that, right? Like I've talked about wandering in the desert and how the Israelites, like they wandered in the desert for 40 years. There was a much easier path to take to go across the Jordan River, but they were stubborn and decided to take the long route. And so they were in the desert for 40 years. And it's our nature to be stubborn. It's our nature to want to take our own path. But at some point, you have to have enough faith in God to get out of your desert, right? You have to love yourself enough to say, I'm ready to leave this behind now. And it doesn't happen overnight. I think this is one of the things that really, really stinks the most about having lived a life where I was always dieting. I gauged every other accomplishment around the way I was able to lose weight. So what I mean by that is that weight loss can happen pretty quick, right? Like, I don't know too many things that you can attempt to do where you see results within a week. Or even a few days, depending on how extreme you're going. I mean, this is what's so addicting about it, right? This is the rush that we get from it, is that we can do something. It's not necessarily healthy for us, but we can do something and we can see a change. Boom. Almost, you know, not almost instantly, but hey, a few days to see a change in your body is a pretty big deal, right? It doesn't take long if you're sticking to the plan. So with everything else in my life, I want to see the same kind of results pretty quickly. And it goes along with the whole self-love thing. It goes along with the whole following God, having faith in God. Like, I know you're hearing the message that I'm sending to you. And if you're anything like me, you're like, yes, I want to have that focus now. I want to have that faith now. I want to have the self-love now. And I want to tell you that it's a struggle, because it's not going to come right now. You have to do what's called stepping out in faith, that those things will come to you. But you're not just going to wake up tomorrow and feel like you've got it all together. Because if you are searching for a life where you no longer wake up with fear and anxiety and doubt, it's not going to happen. That is not life. This was a big lesson. It's a lesson that I'm still learning. I was continually searching. Like, I just wanted to get everything in a row. I wanted to get all my ducks lined up in a row so that I no longer had any struggles, so that I no longer had any pains, so that I no longer had any frustrations, so that it just was like smooth sailing. You know, I would look at these people who were successful in all areas of life and think, I just want to be there, because they don't have any problems. They don't have any worries. And I guess, like, as I'm getting older, I'm just realizing that that's not true. You know, life is worry. Life is fear. To live is scary. It is. But that's why we have God, you know, and the more that we can lean into Him for validation over who we are as His children. And what I mean by that is, He created us, and God is love. And so we have such a huge capacity for love. But so often, we choose to lean further into the fear and the self-doubt than we do into the love and the grace and the mercy of God. And our lives get messy. Everything gets tangled up because we believe this fear. I think there's a percentage, I think it's something like around 80 or even 90% of the things that we're afraid of happening in our lives never actually come to fruition. Fear is such a, it's such a lie. It's just such a lie. And this is why God continually tells us in the Bible to not be afraid. I didn't give you a spirit of fear. And we're afraid to experience the love of God because we feel like we don't deserve it. We're afraid to experience our own love for ourselves because we're afraid we don't deserve it. And that is so not in line with what the Bible teaches us about who we are and what the Bible teaches us about who God is. But we get blinded. You know, we forget. We forget those things because we get so consumed in controlling our path and controlling our journey and controlling what we believe our lives should look like in this limited, and I mean truly limited capacity that we have to see anything of reality. You know, I mean, it's insane that we continually search for this control. We continually search for the ability to have it all figured out and to have it together so that we can be smooth sailing rather than hand it over, put it in the hands of the Lord over everything, who is completely eternal and never changes and knows our beginning, our middle, and the end of our story. You don't know what's going to happen 5 seconds from now, you know? And yet you feel more obliged, more comfortable trying to manipulate your reality so that it suits you rather than hand it over to God. Who knows what's going to happen 5 years from now, 15 years from now, 20 years from now. And don't get down on yourself about it because this is being human. We're all this way. We're all this way. We're continually trying to just not need God. I got it. I'm all set over here, Lord. Don't worry about it. I got it taken care of. Because we feel like to submit and to hand over in faith, it weakens us. When in truth, it strengthens us. And this is what the role dieting has played in my life. It has convinced me that I have the ability to manipulate and to change my circumstances through my body. That I have the ability to live the life that I've always craved on my own terms. It has stolen from me my beautiful, precious gift of being humble and submissive to God. Because what dieting does is it puts us on our own pedestal. And it tells us, you got this. You can have the world at your fingertips if you can just follow this food plan. You can get that better relationship with your husband if you just follow this food plan. You can have more finances in your life, more success at your job if you follow this food plan. You can have a better relationship with your children. They'll love you more when you're thinner. All you gotta do is follow this food plan. It's crazy talk. And yet we believe it. We believe it because we want to believe it. I'd like to believe that.
I'm not going to sit here and lie, man. If dieting really did those things for me, I'd be a dieter. I would still be a dieter. But we go on these diets and we search and we search and we search and we search and we look for fulfillment. And we look for peace and we look for joy and we look for satisfaction and we look for security and we look for love and validation and worth. And we never get it. We never get it. And then we fall off, right? Falling off the wagon. We go back to our old ways. And we think it's our own fault. We think, I must be messed up. There's something wrong with me that I can't seem to control my body. I can't control my cravings. I can't control my eating. And it's not you. It is the program. It is the fact that dieting is set up for failure from the start. The only thing I've ever really taken away from dieting are lessons like, I'm not good enough. I need to keep trying. I need to keep going. I'm not doing it right. I'm making wrong choices. The other thing I want you to pay attention to what I just said in there is there's a lot of I'ms, me. It's all about the self. It's all about pride. It's all about ego on a diet. When you're following God, it's about God. It's about Jesus. There is no compassion in the world of dieting. It's get it right or get off the diet. There's no wiggle room. Even if they try to incorporate some kind of wiggle room into the diet, like Weight Watchers, they always have commercials about Weight Watchers. It goes along with your life. Like, do Weight Watchers. You can have cake on Saturday. Woo! Big deal. If I want cake on Monday and then on Tuesday and on Wednesday and on Thursday, cake is not my problem. Wanting cake is not the problem. The problem is you feeling like you can't have the cake. So with the diets, there isn't any wiggle room, even if they say there is, because when you are dieting, you have decided, I can't have that. And that's when it all starts falling apart. Because there's this child in you. There's that little voice in you. The one, remember that little kid? Remember you when you were a toddler? Remember you when you were maybe four, three? I don't know what kind of household you grew up in. I wasn't really allowed to have sweets or anything like that. I mean, I was definitely wasn't the household the other kids wanted to come over to and raid the cabinets. That was not my home. And yet I was still fat. But that's not my point here. My point is that as a child, we just ate. We didn't think about it. I didn't look at myself in the mirror at 3 years old and be like, oh God, look at you. Look at that belly. Look at that butt. Look at those fat thighs. We're living in a society today where maybe there are 3-year-olds that are starting to do that. I don't know. It's getting pretty scary out there. But my point is that we just, for the most part, we just ate. If we wanted the cupcake, all right, maybe we had to ask a grown-up for it, but we would eat it. And we didn't feel guilty. We didn't feel shame. We didn't feel bad about that because we weren't so self-aware. We weren't so concerned with the self. We just knew cupcakes tasted delicious. We didn't care. We just ate the cupcake. And this is what we have to get back to, the not caring part. And I don't mean not caring about ourselves. I mean caring about ourselves so much that we don't care. Does that make sense? dieting makes us put food into this box of good or bad. It makes everything so complicated about feelings, beliefs, truths, even the moments that we're eating or we're thinking about food. It all just becomes this big tangled rat's nest. And when you're trying to let go of dieting and learn to just eat normally again, like you did when you were three, it's untangling the rat's nest. And it starts with understanding self-love. And because I know how difficult that idea can be right now for some of you, I encourage you to say, you know what, God, maybe right now it's really hard for me to love myself. I'm not happy with who I am in this moment. But because you love me, and because I know that I do love you, I can love myself because I have faith in you. You can start off valuing yourself simply because God values you. You don't have to do it because you feel like you're so valuable. That will come in time. Those things will show up in your life. I promise you they will. But you may not feel it right away. You might still be bitter that you're on this journey. You might still be angry that you can't get control of your binging, get control of your eating, get control of your body. There's so many emotions tied into all of this. Food is like nothing in reality to what's really going on underneath the layers. It's a big deal. We go into it thinking like, oh, I just got to figure out my food. That's only the tipping point, people. There's so much more going on. And I think that you do know that. And yes, it's scary and it's nerve-wracking and it's a little bit frightening, you know, but it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter because if you're really serious about living a life where you're experiencing true freedom with your food, where you're eating like a normal person, where you are accepting and valuing and cherishing yourself, if those are your goals, if that's what you want, you have to just go out and get those things despite the fear that you might be feeling. Because you've got a great big God who is with you all the way, helping you, loving you. I'm here telling you that you deserve to have this peace. You deserve to have this freedom. If that's what you need to hear in order to go out and start getting it, then by golly, that's what I'm going to tell you, because it is the truth. It is the truth because God, His entire plan over our lives is to get us to stop reaching for the darkness and keep reaching for the light. That is being perfected, experiencing more and more truth in your life, more and more holiness, brightness, light, wellness, oneness. Oneness with God, oneness with Jesus, oneness with yourself. There's a separation going on here. And it's not going anywhere. As long as you're on this earth, you are going to experience feelings of separation. Your job is to stop trying to cover those feelings up with things of this world. That is not where you're going to feel your connection. Losing weight, being on a diet, worrying about how many muffin tops you have that morning or how much cellulite is showing in your swimsuit is not going to bring you any connection. Only God can fill that emptiness. And when you start taking on the role of a really, truly faithful woman in love with the Lord, in love with your Creator, in love with the oneness that He has waiting for you, the rest of this garbage is going to start falling by the wayside. And all you have to do is stop being afraid of what that means for you. Because if it's coming from God, it's only going to be glory. And you know that. And you were created for glory. And you know that too. Don't be afraid to start learning how to love yourself again. Because it is your ticket to healing. There's always going to be other things out there to worry and obsess and fret and fear and sweat over. That's life. They're not going anywhere. But you don't have to have dieting be the way you try to navigate through that crap. You have to have God. And when you've got God, you have all you need, including that self-love. Don't worry about feeling it right away, because I'm telling you, odds are you're probably not. You have to make choices based out of loving yourself, even when you're not loving yourself. And you do it because you love God. You do it because it makes God happy. You do it because it's what you're called to do. I didn't want to clean the playroom. I didn't want to give my husband satisfaction. I didn't want to do something nice for him. But I did want to do something for God. And when God calls you to do something because you love Him, you better be ready to do it. And He is calling you right now to put this away. Put it down. And start doing things for yourself because you are fearfully and wonderfully made and because you love Jesus. You don't have to feel like you're the best thing walking on the planet. You can be unsure. You can be afraid. You can be fearful. But if you love God, and I know that you do, you can do this. And you can do it because I did it. And I didn't love myself. And I still have days where I don't love myself. It's not a straight line, ladies. It's messy. It's complicated. There is pain. There is hurt. But there's so much joy and so much peace that comes as well with it. It is worth it. So let's pray, by golly. That's my new thing for, I'm going to say by golly all day long. It's a good one. By golly, we're going to pray. All right. Dear Jesus, I'm getting excited here. Good. We need to get excited. We need to get excited over our healing, don't we? Because it's happening. It's happening right now in this moment as you're listening to this podcast, when you turn the podcast off, when you go to the bathroom today, when you wipe down a countertop today, when you take a step on the sidewalk today, your healing is happening. You need to believe that because it's the truth. It may not seem like it. It may not feel like it, but it is happening. You are being made whole. Believe it. Lord, you've got to show these women how much you love them because they need a reminder. We need a reminder every day of what your grace means for us. We forget. Help us, Lord, to focus on you, to not be so concerned with what the world is waving in front of our face, as a means of how to feel satisfaction and serenity. We want to be followers of you, God, 100%. And we pray, Lord, that you will give us the strength to do that. Because we are weak. And we need that strength. Lord, we want to love ourselves as you love us. We want to know what that feels like, but it is hard. We are broken. We're messy. We can't see. Help us to see. Open our eyes to what it means to be so valued by you, that we can then value ourselves so that we make choices that honor who we are as your creation and not who we think we're supposed to be as people living in a broken, messed up, judgmental, angry, harsh world. Let today be a day of glory, God. We pray these things in your son Jesus' name. Amen. And I just want to say one final thing. Get fired up, girls. Get fired up, because you are on the path to healing. Trust that. I'm excited for you. I am so excited for you. And don't forget, please, prayer is so important. Let me pray for you personally. I want to be able to do that. I do. Man, when I was going through the thick of it, my mother prayed for me all the time. My church was praying for me. I had friends praying for me. Prayer makes a difference. I know we don't know each other personally, but we have the same God and we've got the same struggles, and I know where you're at. And I'm telling you, if you want to feel better, if you want to start seeing faster change in your life, you need prayer, and I would love to pray for you. So if you want to do a prayer call with me, all you have to do is go to CourtneyKopeck.com and click on prayer call. Please, I would love to do that with you. And you can also message me on Facebook. Just look for me, Courtney Kopeck, or send me an email, Courtney@CourtneyKopeck.com. I want to hear from you guys. We're in this together. Let's be supportive of one another. We're a team, you know? We're all children of God, just trying to live the life the Lord wants for us. So let's support one another, and let me pray for you. All right? Have a beautiful day.
Thank you so much for tuning in to Feed Your Faith. I had so much fun with you today, and I really hope that you got something out of the podcast. Please do not forget to subscribe to the podcast. That way you will never miss an episode. And also, if you're interested, I run an amazing Facebook group, Christian Women's Food Freedom Through Faith. Go to Facebook and just put in, you know, Facebook/Courtney Kopeck, and you will come across it. Definitely check that out. And don't forget to sign up for my free 7-day devotional, 7 Steps to Food Freedom Through Faith, that you can get over at my website, www.CourtneyKopeck.com. Have a blessed day.